Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of this world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Pete Polulek shares a story about a senior pastor who was doing a children's sermon one day at his church. He had decided to talk to the kids about how to write a good sermon in hopes of inspiring some of them to grow up and to go into ordained ministry. So he asked the children, what makes a good sermon? Of course, all the little hands were raised high and proud. Yes, Johnny? Johnny said, well, it has to have a good beginning. That's right, Johnny, replied the preacher. We call that the introduction. What else, kids? Yes, Sue, the preacher said. Well, it has to have a great ending. You are so very right, the preacher responded. We call that the conclusion, and it's one of the most important parts. Anyone else? Then little Billy raised his hand, so the pastor called on him. Yes, Billy? Well, I know you don't do it this way, but the introduction and the conclusion should be as close together as possible. My friends, when it comes to the story that we find ourselves in, the story of salvation history, a lot of Christians would have us skip to the end. They only focus on the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And therefore, they downplay the already aspects of God's kingdom in the here and now. And one of the characteristics of the already is that Christians have a living hope in this life because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Our hope does not fade into oblivion. It endures through every storm and trial. For we can stare death in the face and laugh at it. And why? Because we have union with the life giver. Because we have union with Jesus Christ, the victorious one. We have been swallowed up by life. Even though our physical bodies shall expire, that is not the end. It's not the end by a long shot. We have a living hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Our living hope is what the world sorely needs to see and hear right now. So this morning, I would have us simply to gaze upon Jesus, to recall that he lives and reigns and rules over all, including fear, pestilence, and even death. That his voice calls dead men from their graves, and that he is in us and we are in him, right here, right now, in this life. Let us then be refreshed once more by our living hope. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was in the Dead Sea area. And the area is rightfully called dead because there's very little green present, other than the oasis of En Gedi or the date palms surviving because of current drip irrigation. The area is basically lifeless. But when we were there a couple of weeks ago, I and the others with me saw something phenomenal. Because of rare, heavy rainfall, wildflowers were popping up all over the place. We saw flowers of purple and pink and yellow. The lifeless place was being transformed. The barrenness of winter passing away for the hope of spring. And we have a similar picture from Ezekiel this morning. Our first snapshot of the Lord being our living hope comes from the third vision Ezekiel receives in exile in Babylon. And it comes on the tail end of a wonderful promise in chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, where the Lord says to his people, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Then there is also a promise of Israel's land renewed in verses 33 through 36. How will all this be? How will all of this come to pass? Only by the hand of the Lord. And this leads us up to our passage today, where Ezekiel finds himself in Death Valley, surrounded by dry bones. Now, a valley of bones brings about, in our imaginations, a battle where there has been a devastating loss. In fact, the imagery would suggest that hope is far from alive. So when the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" We are to perceive the emotions of the people in exile, far from their homeland. In other words, can hope be restored? Can these dead bones be reborn to a living hope? Ezekiel trusts in the sovereignty of the Lord, and the Lord commands him, saying, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live.'" And this has echoes going all the way back to Genesis 2, where God breathed life into Adam. But then the Lord says in chapter 37, verse 6, "And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." And the Lord does indeed make these bones into bodies. He does indeed breathe, ruach, the same word for spirit, into them. In fact, this word is used seven times in our passage this morning. It is the number of wholeness. It is the number of perfection. But verses 11 through 14 lead us to a national revival. The hopes of the people may be dead in exile, but God has new life to bring to his people. He has a living hope to offer them. Good things are indeed on their way. Beginning in verse 12, the Lord states, "I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord." You see, a national revival is great, but it pales in comparison with knowing the life giver, the one who is resurrection and the life. Our living hope is in the one who raises what is dead. And this leads us to our gospel passage from John today and the raising of Lazarus from the grave. Because our living hope is found in none other than Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Yet as Jesus makes his way to Bethany, only a couple of miles from Jerusalem, he finds people he loves in grief and disappointment. Lazarus, his dear, dear friend, has not only died, but is sealed in a tomb. But marvel the words of the one who is our living hope. When he says to his disciples in John 11, 11, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." I love that. "I go to awaken him. Behold the life giver and his mission. Jesus has come to give life and life to the full." When Jesus arrives in Bethany, Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days. And this is significant. We read and hear this in our North American context, and we gloss over it. People were usually buried the day that they died, like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. But there was a belief among the Jewish that the soul hung around the body for 3 days and then departed. Lazarus has been in the tomb 4 days. His body is dead. His soul has departed. Hope is gone. So Martha, Lazarus' sister meets Jesus saying, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And she responds, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Make no mistake, Martha is a woman of faith. But Jesus says to her and to all of us as well, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. But then Mary, Lazarus' other sister, comes out to Jesus, and behind her a procession of people weeping and mourning in their grief. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And behold, our living hope, who is resurrection and life, is deeply moved with sorrow and anger at the death of Lazarus. And why should he not feel sorrow? He loved Lazarus and his family very much. Then why should he not feel anger? He himself is the life giver. Death is the enemy. And so Jesus is led to where they have laid Lazarus, and he weeps. But deeply moved yet again, Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha protests, telling Jesus Lazarus' corpse will stink. But Jesus would have her focus on the glory of God. You see, with the Lord, all things are possible. So the stone is taken away. Jesus prays, and then he cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus does precisely that, still wrapped in burial clothes. His dead bones have heard the word of the Lord, indeed the voice of the Lord. But the emphasis, of course, is not on the dead man raised, but on Jesus, the one who raises the dead, who calls the dead forth from their graves. The focus is on the one who is our living hope, who himself is the resurrection and the life. And we are meant to know Jesus Christ. We are meant to be in union with him. We are meant to place our faith, our hope, and our love in him alone. And we can do this because Jesus lives. Jesus was crucified for the forgiveness of sins on a Roman cross. He himself was buried in a tomb, sealed with a stone, but death couldn't keep him down. Amen? Amen. The stone of the tomb was not larger than Christ, our cornerstone. For death has been swallowed up by life at the resurrection. New creation has already broken into our world. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. And so we do not hope in vain. Jesus is our living hope. Our hope is solid, for it is built upon the rock. We have union with the life giver, Jesus Christ, right here, right now, in this life. And because Jesus lives, we can face anything, whether pestilence, economic uncertainty, and even death itself. You know the refrain of the popular song, Because He Lives, written by Bill and Gloria Gaither, is something we all need to recall during these troublesome times. The refrain proclaims, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because he lives. With what I've seen coming out of Christians from the North American church in recent weeks, it appears that many of us have forgotten that. But what happens when we take our eyes off our living hope? We sink into the pit of despair, and the world becomes ever poorer because of it. I would have us gaze upon King Jesus once more, for only in looking to Jesus do we remember who we are. Only in looking to Jesus do we recall our boldness. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? Therefore, in these trying days, whom are you looking to? Is it to Jesus, the living one, the life giver, our living hope? Or is it to the whimsical whirlwind of social media, or the ever-changing rants of the news circuits? Whom are you looking to? The world needs a bold church, so let us look to Christ alone. Next, in these troublesome moments, my dear brothers and sisters, what do you really, really believe? Do you think that death or pestilence is the final word? I tell you the truth, they are not. Jesus is the final word. The final word is life, not death. The final word is Christ alone, our living hope. But do you really, really believe it? Do you truly believe Jesus to be resurrection and life? That even though our bodies shall expire, yet shall we live. For we live in him, and he lives in us. And there is an already aspect to this, but there is the not yet aspect as well, and the life of the world to come. So what encouragement can we take away with us today because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters? We are not forsaken, nor are we abandoned. God is among his people whom he dearly, dearly loves. And because we participate in the life of God through Jesus Christ, we do not shrink from death or pestilence or economic uncertainty. We do not live like those without hope. We proclaim our living hope, Jesus Christ. And we model the peace of mind that flows from knowing him, especially in these challenging times. You see, because Jesus lives, not only can we face tomorrow, we can face today. And today has enough problems of its own. My brothers and sisters, the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. Be strong and take courage and continue to trust in Jesus Christ so that those who do not know him and his perfect peace may come to know him who is our living hope. Let us pray. O God, the light of the minds that know you, the life of the souls that love you, and the strength of the wills that serve you. Help us so to know you that we may truly love you, and so to love you that we may fully serve you, whom to serve is perfect freedom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.